Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning, and I have been excited all week. Actually, I've been excited for a couple of weeks to begin our class in the study of Koine Greek, which we also might refer to as Biblical Greek or New Testament Greek. The word Koine is the Greek word for common, and during the time of about 300 B.C., till about 300 A.D., it was the common language of the area. It was the common Greek. It was the language of business. It was the language of social interaction. And this is why the New Testament was written in this language. We're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have our introduction. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to begin this study. And we pray, Lord, that it would be fruitful for your people, that you would encourage us to go deeper in our study by looking at the language that the Scripture, the New Testament Scripture, was originally written in. We thank you that you have given us so many tools, so many opportunities to learn. And we stand, of course, Lord, on the shoulders of those who have come before us, who have provided to us lexicons and thesauruses and dictionaries and many other good tools that we can go to and use in our study, wherein we do not have to be masters of the language to be able to look at it, interact with it, and understand how it was translated into our native tongue, which is English. We thank you, Lord, again, for the many blessings that you've given us as a church. We ask that you forgive us of our shortcomings and our failings, and particularly, Lord, those things which are sins. We ask, Lord, that you help us to seek always to follow after you, to come in line with your will, and to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And all this, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Before we get started, I want to simply give an introduction that I kind of thought about this week in leading up to the class. I thought it was somewhat humorous, and it might give you guys a little bit of a sigh, let you breathe somewhat a sigh of relief. I've heard a lot of people say that Greek is just really, really hard to learn. It's going to be difficult. And a lot of people said, I'm not going to that class because it's just going to be too hard. In fact, William Shakespeare did not do the world any favors when he uttered the phrase, "It's all Greek to me." Because by doing that, he made it seem as if Greek is some largely difficult thing that is so hard for people to be able to understand that to compare it to anything that's hard, you would compare it to Greek. Well, it's all Greek to me. And that simply is not true. In fact, the truth of the matter is, you all, as English-speaking Americans, right now are speaking the most difficult language in history. English, American English, is hugely difficult. You don't think it is because you've been doing it ever since birth. You've been learning the language. You've acclimated to the language. But I just brought some simple examples of why English is hard. For instance, the words hue, spew, cue, and view all rhyme. But none of them are spelled anyway the same. Live and live are spelled the same. Lead and led are both spelled the same. They sound different. That was led. This is lead. That's right. High, sky, and pie. All rhymed. But, well, I didn't put it up here. Some and home don't rhyme. If any two words should rhyme, some and home should rhyme, but they don't. One and one are said exactly the same. This one means you won something, you competed and won, this is a number. And then we have three twos. And I tell you what, this one, if you've ever been on Facebook, this one still is not mastered by most people. This and the bear, T-H-E-R-E, T-H-E-I-R, or T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E. People just have not grasped that concept. We also have a letter that is useless. The letter C. A lot of people question me, oh, C is not useless. We use it all the time. C is a letter that does not have its own native sound. We use the letter C to make a sus sound, but we already have a native sus, and that's the S. We use the C to make a native ka-ka sound, but we already have a native ka-ka sound. We call it the K. There is no letter, or there's no sound, which is distinctly coming from the letter C. You might say, well, wait a minute, what about the cha-cha? No, cha-cha is a combination. It's a contraction of C and H. So C by itself does not have its own sound. Really, we have a useless letter. And if nothing else proves to us that English is hard, look at an English dictionary. It'll say, this is the way it's spelled, and this is the way it should have been spelled. In parentheses, it'll say, this is how we should have spelled it. We spelled it like this, but it should have been spelled like that. So you already read, speak in, and converse in the most difficult language in history. It has some of the most difficult nuances. It's hard, yet you do it every day. So when we begin to look at the Greek language, don't let it overwhelm you. We are going to go very, very, very slow. We're going to try to learn together in such a way where we have fun. In fact, you'll notice there's a lot of young people in here this morning. I invited anyone who wanted to come, and that included the young children. And I have a special project for the children this week. Because this morning we're going to learn the alphabet. We're going to learn how the letters sound, and we're going to learn how the diphthongs work together to make sounds. And what you guys are going to do, you children, adults too if you want to, but your children are going to write a letter to each other this week. In English, but you're going to use Greek characters. So it's almost as if you're using, you're making, what's the old code? Remember in code, this sound, this means this, and this means this. You're going to do that so you can learn how the letters work together, how the diphthongs work together, and how different English words would be written if they were written in Greek. So that's going to be your homework. You're going to write a letter to each other in English, but using Greek letters. So, and again, the adults, you can do that too. It's a lot of fun, and it's a good way, because once you start seeing them on a page, once you start seeing these letters interact together on a page, when you pick up a page of the Bible written in that same language, you can begin sounding out the words, finding the roots. And once you begin finding the roots, you can see the stems and the endings, and that's how you begin to translate into English. And that's the highest level, and obviously that's the point that we want to shoot for, but we have to begin, of course, by simply learning the letters. So I have two handouts for you today. They're both double-sided, so I actually have four handouts for you. Joey, would you pass these around? And Cody? You can come and pass these around, please. Make sure everyone... if you're a family, if you'll share, just make sure everybody, all the different families get one for certain. Is where two letters go together to make a distinct sound. Like O-I in English make an oi sound, like an oil. That's a diphthong. That's two letters making one distinct sound. T-H, the. Well, no, that's not, because diphthongs are vowels. That's, you understand what I'm saying? A and I in English together, A-I make the what sound? Like an I. Oh, A-I make an I sound. Well, in English it's similar. Or in Greek, it's similar. You'll find out that a lot of the diphthongs that we use in English had their foundations in Greek.
And
so
only
that
relates to vowels.
Hmm?
It only relates to vowels.
Yeah, the diphthongs relate to vowels. All right, the first sheet we're going to be looking at is the one that Joey has handed to you, and that is the Greek language and development through five stages. This is not something we're going to look at for a long time, but I want you to begin on this page, the Greek language through five stages. You'll notice you have the formative period. We'll let everybody get a chance to get one. You guys get the one Cody's giving out? Okay. No, the guys in the back need one. All right, if you'll take a look at the one that says the Greek language has developed through five stages, you'll notice the formative period. This began around 1200 B.C., and it went through the time of Homer, which would have been around 900 B.C. After that, you have the classical period. That is around 900 B.C. to around 300 B.C. This was the time of Homer down to Alexander the Great. There were numerous dialects during this period, and it talks about a little bit of what those were. After that, you'll notice from 330 B.C. to 330 A.D., there was what we call the Koine period. And that is the period that we're going to be studying, because that is the period in which the New Testament was written. In fact, there have been some, I don't ascribe to this, there have been some who have argued that that language was specifically brought into existence by God for the use of producing the New Testament. However, and the reason for that was because when the New Testament was early being translated, and they were beginning to do archaeological studies and things, they weren't finding a lot of other sources that used that same type of Greek. The reason was because pretty much a very short period where this Greek was used. Before that was classical Greek, and then after that came what we have called the Byzantine period, and then, of course, modern Greek. And Byzantine and modern Greek are quite different from Koine Greek, and they were having trouble finding other sources other than the Bible where that language was used. So some people made the argument, well, this must be a Holy Ghost language or some kind of Holy Spirit language. It wasn't. It was just the common language of the period, but it only lasted about 600 years. And we think about 600 years as being a long time. It really isn't in the grand scheme of things. 600 years is not that long a time for a language to be used and to be developed and to be spoken and written. I heard a funny thing one time. It said the difference between people from Europe and people from America is that people in Europe think 100 miles is a long way. People in America think 100 years is a long time. We just, 600 years really is not that long a time for a language to be in use. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a very specific time when the Greek language was being written and used in a certain way, and it's called the Koine period. Now, if you want to turn that sheet over, you will see this sheet. This is your alphabet sheet. And it gives you how all the letters are to be pronounced and how we are going to pronounce them. There are three different ways to pronounce Koine Greek. There's three different ways to pronounce Greek. There is the modern way, which we are not going to be using. There is historical reconstructionist, which we are not going to be using. And then there is what is called the traditional or the Erasmian pronunciation. That is the one that we are going to use. And the reason why we're going to use the traditional or Erasmian pronunciation is twofold. Number one, it is the one that uses all the sounds of all the letters when you're speaking a word. Because when Erasmus was translating, or when he was rather producing the Greek New Testament, which would later become the Textus Receptus, when Erasmus was doing that and trying to sound out words, because they didn't know how the language was supposed to sound, they said, well, what we'll do is we'll use every letter and we'll sound out every letter. What has happened with that is it doesn't really sound like a language. It sounds more robotic. But it's good because it helps you understand what words are being used when we're reading. For instance, when we begin our first translational exercise, and it's going to be in a few weeks. Our first translational exercise is going to be John 1:1. The reason why is it's very easy to translate. But when you hear it said, it's not going to sound like a language. En archeme halagos, pros antheon. You'll hear those words. It doesn't really sound like a language. It sounds like a robot spitting out, how a robot would speak. However, at the same time, when you begin understanding how the letters fit together in the traditional or Erasmian way, it'll make a lot of sense to you. You'll be able to look at a page, you'll be able to sound it out as you go, and it'll sound more like a language as it goes on and make more sense. However, like I said, if you are translating or reading a Greek New Testament and somebody from modern Greece heard you, they would probably laugh at you. They would probably say, oh, that's not the way that word's supposed to sound. We know. We're not trying to read the modern Greek. We're not trying to read using a modern Greek dialect. We wouldn't do that, and we don't do that. So don't let it bother you if it doesn't. If you look up a modern Greek-speaking person on YouTube to listen to what they're sounding like, and what you're saying doesn't sound like what they're saying, don't let it bother you. It's not supposed to. Okay, I just want to throw that out there. Because we are going to be reading aloud in Greek. We're going to sound out words. We're going to, because in doing so, it's going to help us determine roots. It helps us in our translation. Because again, translation would begin with the root, to the stems, to the endings, and you begin to see how sentences flow together and how the roots work to develop ideas and thoughts. All right, so we're going to begin today. We're going to look at the alphabet. Interestingly enough, we talk about the alphabet all the time. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Where do we get the term alphabet? We get the term alphabet from the Greek alphabet. We get it from the term, the letters alpha and beta. All right? Most of us know that. Most of us very quickly can identify the alpha and the beta because the alpha and the beta look just like the English alpha, beta. But you'll notice that the Greeks are smarter than us because they don't have a C. We established that earlier. They don't have a C. All right? It goes alpha, and I'm going to do this 2 or 3 times. So if I run away with you the first time, I'm just going to say them all one time, and then we're going to go back, and I'm going to teach you how to memorize it. Okay? So it's alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. Zeta, eta, theta, iota. It is not iota. It is not. And that's whether it's modern or ancient, whatever. The only people who call it iota are Americans. Iota. Yeah, iota. Not even iota. It's iota. Kappa, lambda, mu, nu, C, like an X, C, Omicron, P, not pi. Now, if you say pi because you were in math class and everybody said, you know, pi r squared, and we all know that, you know, k r squared, pi r round, pi. It's P. Rho. Sigma. Tau. Upsilon, upsilon. Phi. Tihi. Well, I didn't say it right. Ki. But it's not ki, because we already have a kappa here. We have ka. It's ka. It's this is where later it would become cha. Okay, so if you imagine a K and an H together, or a C and an H later, would become the ch sound. This is the first letter in the name of Christ, or Christos. Okay? You'll see the key, and then the rest of the spelling of Christos. This one is C, C, alright? And Omega. Alright? So, 24 letters. Who wants to give it a shot and do them all? Okay, I just did it. We're gonna learn them in a couple of different ways. I'm going to teach them to you in a memorization tool. I sent a video out to help some of you. I don't know how many of you watched the video that I sent out to help. I'm going to go through that. It's goofy. Some of you are going to probably laugh and you're going to think it's dorky, but you know what? It works. Number one, it works. Number two, most of you came in this morning not knowing the alphabet. Right, not knowing the Greek alphabet. Hopefully, by the end of today, you'll at least be able to recall each other. Oh, by the way, before I run away with myself, the blue are capitals, the black are what we call minuscule, or lowercase. Alright? The original New Testament was written in all capital letters, no spaces, no punctuation. So, if you were to look at an ancient Greek manuscript, one of the Alexandrian text or the Sinaiticus or one of those, you would look and it would all be written in all capital letters. So it is, even though the modern Greek text that we're going to be reading is almost all minuscule, it would behoove you to learn both. I mean, you know, because some of them don't look the same. But there are, like this one here, alpha, beta, gamma. Gamma. The gamma looks like what? The little g. What does it look like?
Jesus.
Looks like a Jesus fish pointing down. But also, if you think about it, it looks like a g. If you think about a modern cursive g, it just take off the loop. And that's a quick way to remember what the gamma, lowercase gamma, it's just a cursive g without the loop. Okay? However, this doesn't look anything like any of our letters. What does it look like? You said earlier. It looks like a hangman or a gallows. And a gallows starts with a gamma sound, G sound. So now you'll all remember it. Because the uppercase gallows for gamma. Alright? Delta, yeah, let's do this. Delta. Weren't they the ones who loved to fly in the shows?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. That's the symbol that was on all their jets. The big capital. The delta symbol, the triangle. That's the delta symbol. Epsilon, it's E. Looks just like ours. Zeta, capital, looks just like ours, Z. Lowercase, all it is, and sometimes it's fancy, but really, if you look at it, it's just the Z with a tail. Okay? If you took off the tail, it looked like a lowercase Z. Alright? It's not hard. Eta. You have the capital H, but then you have the lowercase, which looks like what? Looks like our N. That one is going to throw you off big time when you first start. Because every time you see it, you're going to be thinking N. Okay? This is Eta. Beta. Big important letter, because this, just like this one, is the first letter in Christos, which is Christ. This is the first letter in Theos, which is the name of God, the word for God. So Theta is an important letter to remember. Capital and lowercase look similar. The difference in the capital is the line doesn't go all the way across usually. It usually is in the middle. And there's, just to help you out there. Alright, Yoda. Here's the thing I don't want to see. If you write something, don't do this. Okay? The dot above, we put over our I, but it's not necessary in Greek. In fact, it can be confusing because Greek does use accent marks. There are certain accent marks that help you to know how to say certain letters. Certain accents will, if it begins with an epsilon, it might supposed to be an F sound, but if it has a different accent, it might supposed to be there's an H sound at the beginning of that. So if you begin putting dots above things, and later you start using the other symbols, your dots are confused. Don't dot your I's or cross your T's. Seriously, don't cross your T either. We'll get there in a minute. All right. Kappa, easy. Lambda. Okay, Revenge of the Nerds. Somebody's going to say it. Yes, it's Lambda. Okay, it's just three. It's three arrowheads. It's not three. The arrowhead symbol, that's the lambda. If you look at it, again, I try to associate things in my mind. And one of the things about the lambda, you'll see, you'll notice a lot of times when it's written in its calligraphy, it looks like this. Well, this is not a good pencil trigger. It looks like this. And they're almost a loop at the top. Well, if you extend that up, it looks like our cursive L. Our cursive lowercase L. So that might help you in your memory. Mu, it's M. It's the same as ours. Nu, this one's going to kill you. Because for the first couple weeks, every time you see that, you're going to think buh, buh, and it's really nuh, nuh. Because it's new. So that one will, it's still, every once in a while, you'll be reading fast, going through the Greek real quick, and you're like, you know, what is Evangelion? Oh, wait, Evangelion, you know, or something, right? You know, you'll see the new sound will throw you off. Ksi. Our letter that would be similar in equivalency would be X. Omicron. Oh, by the way, this one, the way you write it is kind of funky because it's similar in look to an epsilon if you were to just write it. But if you notice, there's a loop at the top and a loop at the bottom that helps differentiate it from the epsilon. But also, what you're writing here is you're writing the lowercase in a minuscule form. So you're writing three lines with a loop between each. If you imagine the difference between that and the epsilon, that will help. Omicron. It's an O. P. This another one's gonna kill you. And this is rho. Rho is our I can do it. It's just our sound. Here's the thing though. When you're pronouncing R in the Greek, when you're pronouncing R in the when we begin pronouncing things, roll your R. Not because you're trying to be fancy, but it'll help your pronunciation. And really, English is the only language, or American English is the only place where we don't roll the R. We don't say, you know, sigh, you know, or something like that, or lore. We say lore, or. In fact, I was doing the Greek language instruction a few weeks ago with John Swan, and he made a point that I thought was interesting. He said, what sound do you think is distinctly American? He said, if you think about different languages, you think about German, it's ha, you know, that guttural sound is very distinctly German. Or if you hear French, it's very distinctly, you know, it's very smooth. He said, if you hear Chinese, it's, you know, ping pong, you know, it's very sharp. It's very sharp and distinct sounds. He said, but what is the distinctly English sound? He said, it's the hard R. He said, if somebody wants to sound American, the youngsters will make, you know, we might joke around and say we're sounding like somebody from another nation, like, I'm German, hawk, 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 you know, make that. If they want to sound like us, they go rah, 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 because we're the only people that make the rrr sound. Rrr. Because it's rah, 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 ro. It's not ro, ro. So if you, when you're pronouncing, roll your ro. Or slow your roll. Now roll your roll. And no, it's going to look like a P. And that's going to throw you off. Because ever since you were in first learning your letters, that one made a p-p-p-p sound. And now it's going to make a r-r-r sound. And that's going to throw you off. Sigma. Sigma. Looks like O with a little line at the top. But really, to me, what it looks like is it looks like an S with a big bottom. I mean, that's just, again, this is how my mind works. And when I see this, I see an S with a big blue bottom. And that kind of helps me. Now, I want to tell you something. Sigma is one of the confusing letters. Because if sigma is used in the middle of a, well, if it's used at the beginning, if it's a capitalized sigma, it's going to look like that, which is confusing because it looks like an E. Sigma, the little sigma, if it's used in the middle of a word, at the beginning of a word, if it's not capitalized, it's going to look like this. But if it's at the end of a word, it's going to look like this. But hey, that's pretty easy because it just looks just like RS. But that can confuse you because there's two different ways of using the sigma letter. All it is this, they connect, and this, they drop off the end because there's nothing to connect it to. Think about cursive. It sort of goes along the lines of how you would write. If I were writing to go to the next letter, I would have the offshoot that way. If there was nothing else to go to, I would just drop it off the end. Alright? Tau. Do not cross your T. Don't do that. Do. The tau is capital T, lowercase. It is T with a tail. Or a top with a tail. Upsilon, the next letter, Upsilon, where we, our letter is the letter U. Lowercase, easy. Uppercase, looks like a palm tree to me. It goes down and back up. It's like that. Sometimes, in a certain way people write it, looks like it would look like a capital Y, and that can confuse you. that's why I like writing it this way, because it, to me, it just, I can distinguish that in my mind better than looking at a capital Y. When you see a capital Y, and you've been doing English for 31 years, you think, yeah, yeah, and not ooh, ooh. It's an ooh song. Alright? Fee. Fee. Alright? Fee is, this is the reason why we spell phone, P-H-O-N-E, instead of F-O-N-E, or F-O-N. It's why in a lot of our words, when you see a P-H, if you see a P-H in English, and that P-H is making a puh sound, that letter, that word is has its root in the Greek. Okay? Because it's coming from this letter, the phi sound. Key, is the key sound. I'm trying to say this, it sometimes doesn't come out, but it's key. That's what I'm trying to pronounce. Not hearing it roll off as well as it should. Alright, this one is fun. This one is fun. Just real quickly, what does this look like?
Trident.
Looks like a trident, right? And if you think about popping something with a trident, if you think about taking a forked stick and popping something, what noise would it make? Well, that's the noise this letter makes. It makes a sound. As in the PS at the end of lips. That's where you get this sound. Alright? And then finally, omega. But what does it look like? The lowercase, the minuscule. It looks like a W. And the first couple times you see it, that's really going to throw you off because it looks like a W. The omega here is important for us to distinguish because most of us are used to seeing the symbol for alpha and omega. Because when we talk about Jesus being the alpha and the omega, and this is where that term comes from, literally it means he's the beginning and the end, because everything else is bound up in between the alpha and the omega. Alright, before I go on giving you a memorization drill, does anybody have any questions about this? Go ahead.
Okay, CHI. It says that it's German CH as in, let me see if I can say it right, Bach.
Yeah, Bach.
Okay, so can you say the CHI thing?
Yeah, which letter?
Key.
Yeah, it's just key.
Key.
It's this. This is what I'm trying to say. Key.
So, you would say Bach, but it's more.
It still has the k sound.
Yeah.
There's just a k on the end.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's that. There is not a equivalent to what we would have for like Charlie, or when we use the word charge or something like the ch sound. Theirs would be a k sound. Like that's why we don't call him Johann Sebastian Bach. It's Johann Sebastian Bach. Or Bach. There's that k sound. All right. Let me take you through a little memorization thing. And then we're going to look at the diphthongs, and hopefully we'll be done. Alright, this is going to be cheesy, please forgive me, but it's a lot of fun. There's a guy who does the Matthew C program, and he teaches it this way, and it's fun to learn. We all know alphabeta, huh?
Should we write it down?
You should remember, this is and if you don't, you can go on Facebook and watch the video, it's on my Facebook. Alright, you have alpha, beta, gamma, those we know, and then delta. Alright, we're going to start with delta because that's where it begins to... Most people fall off from here down. Most people can do alpha, beta, gamma, delta. But then when you get to zeta, you get starts to begin, or eta, zeta, theta. So, or actually, that's backwards. Excuse me. It should be zeta, eta. Excuse me. Did that wrong? Yeah. By the way, no, I didn't. Forgive me. Epsilon.
Yeah.
What's that?
Don't speak.
Right. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. All right. Beginning with delta, you have Delta Airlines. Okay, that's when we talked about that. And they have a plane called the Epsilon. That's the name of the plane. It's the Epsilon. And there is a man and a woman taking a trip on the Epsilon, and her name is Zeta. And she's hungry on the trip, and so Zeta, Eta, Theta. That's what she's eating. Zeta, Eta, Theta. And then her husband, Yoda, wore a kappa, and together they owned a farm where they raised lambdas. And the lambdas made the noise, moo, moo. When they came home from their trip, their lambs had gotten out and eaten their corn crop, and so he said, "Cassie, oh my corn!" Every one of you remember that. "Cassie, oh my corn." Okay? Now, they were avid baseball fans, and so when they came back from their trip and they were concerned about their crop, they decided to go to a baseball game, and they saw the great baseball player, Pete Rose. And he had a sigma on his hat and a towel around his neck. He slipped on the way to the dugout, and he said, "Oop, salon." When they got back out to leave, their car was parked illegally, and there was a fee. And the man got mad and threw it down. He said, "Keep, see?" And he left. Okay, and then Omega's the last one. That's cheesy, but fee, keep, see. I tell you what, there have been many times that little expression, fee, keep, see. You know, keep this, see, and keep giving it back. That has reminded me many times of those last three letters when I was first learning the alphabet. Just fee, keep, see. Because that's what it's fee, keep, or fee, keep, see. All right? So, that's cheesy. If you want to watch the video again, watch online. The guy really goes through each thing and gives you a little visual thing to go with it. I always thought it was a cute way of remembering the alphabet. All right. Last but not least, and boy, we didn't get anywhere I wanted to today. But we're running out of time. Last thing for today, I want to do diphthongs. Let me erase and put them on board here. All right, a diphthong is where two vowels go together to make a distinct sound within a word. Perhaps it would be good, though, for doing that, if I actually told you what the vowels are. All right. The vowels are alpha, if you want to mark this out. Alpha, epsilon, eta, iota, omicron, upsilon, omega. Seven vowels. Alpha, epsilon, eta, iota, omega. I'm sorry, omicron, upsilon, omega. All right. Now, we're going to look at how different ones work together. And you should be very familiar with these, because most of them are, they have an English equivalent. Alright. If you see these in a word, they're on your sheet, but I just want to go over with you the sound. Just like in the English word aisle, which is not spelled I with a beginning with an I, but it begins with an A, I, well, alpha, iota make the I sound. Alright? Alpha, upsilon makes the owl sound, as an owl. Epsilon, iota makes the A sound, the letter 8, is spelled E-I-G-H-T. Why? Because it comes from, it's based in the Greek, and E-I would make an A sound, or epsilon, iota. Alright, epsilon, upsilon makes it a U, U sound, U. Omicron, iota makes an oi, as in oil, or boy. Omicron upsilon makes a oo sound, as in oot, oot. And then Upsilon Iota makes the we sound like a queen. Queen. Alright. Now that you have all the letters and their sounds, and you have all of the diphthongs, you should be able to at least form out a word the way it sounds. So let's try that real quickly with one Greek word, and this would be, we're out of time, but I want to do this to make it a good help. I'm going to do one Greek word before you leave. Have you see if you can sound out this word. Alright? See if you can do it. Before anybody says anything, let's give everybody an opportunity to sound out. Excuse me.
I wrote this a little wrong. It should be more than just it. Okay.
Alright. Do we know what it is? Alright. Does anybody not know what it is? Okay, a few people haven't got it. Okay. So we have Alpha, Nu, Theos. Right? Alpha, Nu, Theos, which would be Ankh, right? Would be the first that we make that. Alpha, Nu, Theos, Ankh. And then what is this letter? Rho, which would be Ra. Rho, this is the Omega. P, Omicron, Sigma. So it would be Anthropos. Anthropos. Which would be the Greek word for man. It's where we get the word anthropology, or the study of mankind. Okay? So the anthro, because that's the hard O, anthropos. Okay? That's your first Greek word. Yay! Now everybody can say you got one down. Many, 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 many more to go. Alright, so you know the letters, you know how they're supposed to sound, you can sound them out in your mind. If you want to take an opportunity, write something out in English, like if you're just going to write something like, Bobby. Sibel. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Take an English word, write in Greek letters. See if you can form the letters together to make a word. You know, Bobby, Sibel. Make the word. Alright? It'll be fun, and it'll get you ready to where you can start looking at a page with these letters on it, and it won't seem so weird to you. Yes, Ben?
I just want to share everybody. I'm kind of started learning Greek myself, like way back, but I kind of fell off of it. But there's this website called technia.com, and it's Bill Mouse's
yes.
like stuff. But there's free stuff, like free songs or something. And one of them is the alphabet that he sings, and you can download it for free. And the other one is the doxology in Greek. I think there's one more that I can answer.
Bill Mouse is really good. Mouse's stuff is excellent. And if you want to know a song, everybody in here know Mama's Little Baby Goes Shortening and Shortening? You know that? Alright. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Yoda, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Psi, Omicron, Pi, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Upsilon, Pi, Chi, Psi, Omega.
That's
a
song.
It is. So, just remember, Mama's Little Baby Goes Shortening. Think of that. Take the letters and do it, and you'll have it memorized by next week. Alright? So I'm going to hear you singing that when you come in next week. Alright, next week we'll go a little further. We'll start forming words. I'm going to start giving you a vocabulary list to study. You've got a lot of fun stuff to do. Did you guys have fun? Excellent. Alright, let's we'll dismiss. God bless you. Yes.